Hello, welcome to Release Your Wings. We have with us today Ken O'Donnell, who is the coordinator of the Brahma Kumaris for all of South America. He's an experienced Raja Yogi meditator for 38 years, and he's had a very interesting journey through meditation, which has taken him to wonderful experiences and insights about how our inner being really affects our lives in the world and even affects the world around us. And the topic that we have today is from inertia to inspiration. So imagine you have a big freight train that's stalled and you need to get it started again. Brother Ken is going to explain to us some of the mechanics of how this starts. Welcome, Ken. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Mary. It's really great to be here. And we're here to release our wings a little bit more.
To release our wings, yeah. And so I'm really reminded by this topic of Nelson Mandela, because he's on all of our minds now that great soul has released his wings and flown away. And I'm remembering that 27 years he spent in prison, and he kept his inspiration. He never let it go. And perhaps even more remarkable than that, when he got out of prison and he was hailed as a hero all over the world, he did not cave into being a celebrity, but he kept his aim on his inspiration. And so how is it that certain individuals seem to be immune to the effects of both defamation and praise, and they stay right on that path of inspiration?
I guess when you look at inertia and how that moves to inspiration, it implies that there is a potential that's not being realized, not being able to happen. And so if something is inside of you bottled up, for sure it was bottled up when he was in prison, and suddenly there's, you know, it's a real situation, he's got the chance to show his real potential, what really was driving him all along, and it's as if, you know, it comes out naturally. So what naturally flourishes will be different from what people expect also. And of course it so happens that if it's not such a powerful driving factor inside of us, then external influences will sort of attract us or push us or pull us this way or the other, so that we still stay with our potential bottled up because we've buried it again under something else.
I think we have to understand inertia a little bit better, because I know in my own life there are, I've had inspirations also, but inertia is a natural force in the world. And so how do we avoid being under the influence of the force of inertia?
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, we lived near a railway line. One day playing, we found one of those railway carts, you know, the ones that you sort of go up and down.
Right.
It was so heavy, we were only like 10 years old or whatever, a few old young kids. To get it moving was such a hard job. But once it was moving, it was sort of fine. You could probably do it with one hand. So inertia has to do with the weight of something, this mass. And, you know, to push something that's stationary, first of all, you have to overcome that mass. The force has to be greater than the mass. So using that analogy of physics, and we're talking about here our own inertia, our internal inertia. It's not physical weight, and it's not physical force. But it's the weight of the past. It's the weight of things that we haven't sorted out. It's the weight of our bondages that, you know, we imagine that we're in bondage with this, that, and the other. Whereas there are no physical things holding us down. In Mandela's case, you know, it's not a physical prison, but it's an existential one. So we have to sort of recognize our inner potential. What does it serve for? What is it useful for? Where can it go? And we have to get the power to be able to move it. That power can only come through meditation, really. It can only come through our deeper connection, because I can't produce my own power. In fact, that's what exactly we need. We've got love, we've got peace, we've got happiness. but we don't have power because that's been depleted. And that's the reason why God exists. If he wasn't around to give us power, it'd be unemployed. So we have to connect up with that powerhouse and connect that with our potential. And then, of course, inspiration can happen.
Mm. Well, is there some kind of an entrance requirement or some kind of a fee involved in getting power from God? Because why aren't we doing it?
I think the fee is to give up your ignorance.
Mm.
that's a pretty stiff fee for a lot of people. But, it's like the missing factor in our lives is spiritual power. That makes us more powerful than the things around us.
Mm.
And therefore we can move through things without being stopped at every turn. And so this spiritual power comes from a loving connection with God. And that connection is like, okay, he's not the father of the body. He's not the father of, even the roles that I play. He's not the parent. He's the mother also. But he has a connection with our spiritual identity as souls. Mm. And so when I say the fee is ignorance, I have to remove the ignorance that I have around myself. Who am I behind what I do? Who am I behind what I say and what I want? So this introspection brings me to an understanding that, if I remove my name and form, if I remove all of the things that I'm connected to, I still exist.
Mm.
And I'm a spiritual entity. I go with the famous phrase of Teilhard de Chardin, who said, "We are spiritual beings having a human experience, and not human beings going through a spiritual one or looking for one."
Mm.
So I start from there.
Mm-hmm.
And I notice that there are things inside of me that are more powerful, that could be more powerful than the things around me.
Mm.
But I need to make that connection with the source.
Mm.
And through meditation I make that connection and bring up what is best in me, and I connect with something outside of me and I can move towards it.
Mm. Yeah. Now I have noticed inner power in myself, but I've noticed that some of the power in myself is very benevolent, but some of the power within myself is also very destructive. And so if I'm going inside and getting a hold of my inner power, might I end up as a mass murderer, for example?
Well, that's not particularly inspiring. But when I'm talking about spiritual power, it's not just power per se. It's just the power that can bring, make my love work and make my happiness work and make my peace work, rather than make some selfish desire work. That's not exactly power.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the sort of power I'm talking about. So let's say I'm basically a loveful being, but the world is full of people who are basically loveful, but when something really strong happens, some disaster or some personal problem, then they forget how loveful they are, because they don't have enough spiritual power to make the love cut through all of the circumstances. So inspiration is to be able to cut the strings of circumstance so that you can bring it out, bring out the best in you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a plant. To grow, it needs water, it needs sunlight, it needs air, it needs space. In the same way, I have to make sure that I'm getting enough knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I have to understand what I'm doing. I'm getting enough power from the spiritual sun, let's say, to nurture what is best in me.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm for sure in his case. There must have been some spiritual connection there. What we've read about Mandela and so on, there was such a love beyond, even logic, that was there in him that had to come out.
Yeah. So I'm understanding now that this inspiration is really an otherworldly kind of inspiration, a very, I could almost use the word divine kind of inspiration. And it seems like every human being, even those who end up doing destructive things, that every human being has within them the desire to contribute something good to the world. But we somehow get so shoehorned by the circumstances of everyday life that we don't express it. So could you talk to us a little bit about how I do have to live my life and do all of these things, but how do I get this inspiration that also perhaps allows me to fulfill my deepest dreams?
Well, if you look at inspiration, it's the opposite of expiration. Inspire means to breathe in, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And expire means to breathe out.
Mm-hmm.
So to breathe in, I need oxygen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm breathing in noxious gases, I'm still inspiring,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm not necessarily living.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to surround myself with the things that will give me life, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I have to, you know, I can't be sort of just expecting from my surrounding everything that I need to grow.
Mm-hmm.
I need to put myself in different situations,
mm-hmm.
and circumstances, and definitely the world around us has an influence.
Mm-hmm.
The past has an influence, therefore inertia could be stronger than our
mm-hmm.
inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got two influences that are happening in everyone. You've got
mm-hmm.
past, the things that have been sorted out, the things that haven't been forgotten and forgiven,
mm-hmm.
the debts maybe,
mm-hmm.
even physical debts, something that we're holding from, you know, some grudge that we're having against something, maybe a chronic grudge against a particular type of person.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter who, but if someone has
mm-hmm.
that sort of behavior, I lose it. So there are the things from the past, our habits and our thinking and our beliefs, they're all past-centered,
mm-hmm.
yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And our experiences also, that could weigh down and stop us. The other thing is the surroundings and the people I live with, the people I mix with, the sort of films that I watch,
mm-hmm.
sort of material that I read, the sort of sites that I visit on the internet,
mm-hmm.
all of that is mm-hmm. influencing. But there's a third influence, which is through meditation.
Mm.
And that the third influence should be, you know, should be enough to put the past in the past and, you know, open up the future.
Mm.
So that spiritual influence is through, first of all, I am the soul. And secondly, I am God's child.
Mm.
And in a sense, to different extents, we're all His instruments.
Mm.
So if I start to live in instrument consciousness, then I can be gradually, you know, putting the inertia, getting this weight down, and bringing the inspiration up so that I can
mm-hmm.
move forward.
Mm-hmm. This is a very lovely inspiration, to think of myself as an instrument of God. And I know you've had many, many years of experience meditating. Can you share with us some example from your own life of how this inspiration has helped you to do or be or
it's very,
influence?
Very much connected with, you know, am I in creation mode or in destruction
mm.
mode? You know, if I'm building up something great or I'm breaking down something equally great, or
mm.
you know, so how am I being useful or not being useful? Looking
mm-hmm.
at the world around me, and you know, that's enough for me to be inspired to go on looking not what I need, but looking
mm-hmm.
at the needs around me and connecting up with God, and you know, and making sure that, you know, this sort of flow starts to happen, because
mm-hmm.
I don't know what people need, but
mm.
God knows what people need, so let me be a sort of a halfway house or a channel, so that, you know, or you know, some maybe the best thing is to be a tap, you know, here's
mm-hmm.
a reservoir, I'm just a little tap, Mm-hmm. You know, let that flow out through me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the sort of experience that I have. And then I don't really need to know about, you know, how inspired I am, because it's everything, every single day is great.
Thank you, Ken. And this is a lovely inspiration for us all to be able to practice today in our meditation, is that I am God's instrument. God is the big reservoir, and I'm just a little tap, and God's energy is flowing through me. Thank you very much, Ken.
Thanks.